More blockbusters than 1998. It's GRD's Weekly.
We're bringing it back, yo.
Indeed it is. Welcome back to it, yo, 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 yo. Yo, yo. Hi. It's GRD's Weekly episode...
272?
That was the last episode.
273?
That's this episode.
Yay!
Episode 273, also known as... We've been doing this for a little bit. Hi, we're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of weird places like that. Doing the show now. The lady sitting across from me, approaching it with the same excitement she does every show. It's the Flinstress.
Let's just get this over with, shall we?
Alrighty. Hi there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
That's true.
It's been remarked. It certainly has been remarked. So, yeah, what have you been doing geeky, yo?
A decent amount of stuff, even with a toddler, still trying to be geeky. We watched Legion.
We did.
And we have seen all of Legion.
Legion
was amazing.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like mind-blowing. And I love that you get a little bit of like questions answered every episode, but then you also get new stuff and it's like more questions and how is everything going to turn out and what's going on. And we've said it before, it like really makes you feel like you know what it's like to be schizophrenic, and it's scary, but not too scary. Like
comfortable? Sorry.
Just a little bit scary. It's definitely a fun... Like, I looked forward to seeing every episode, and I feel a little bit bereft that it's not around, but that's okay. If you hadn't already checked it out, I was going to say something kind of spoiler-ish. So anyway, if you haven't checked out Legion, you really should. The season finale was really good, and I just cannot wait for it to come back on TV, even though we have a long time to wait. Also, talking about season finales, we saw The Walking Dead.
We did.
Yeah, and the whole season was a little bit slow, but I thought that the last episode was really pretty decent. Not great, but comparatively pretty decent.
I there were things about this episode I liked. I was a little disappointed that for as much as I thought we were going ahead and all of a sudden rushing to the end of this, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised that they decided, no, wait, we're not going to give you the entire thing. We're only going to give you half of how this whole resolution with the saviors goes. So we don't get the...
Yeah, that was definitely a little battle. Bit of a like a build up. Wait a minute. You mean when I really wanted to see Shiva rip Negan's face off and I got denied that. Yes, I did get to see fear in his eyes. And yes, you know, a tiger and you know, Rick finally stand up to him. I wasn't anticipating that those people were going to cross Rick, the scavengers or whatever they were called.
That was a nice
so
little twist.
I thought Maggie and the Hilltop and the Kingdom came riding down the hill like Gandalf on the third day and just saved the day right at the nick of time.
Yeah, and that's a fun thing to talk about. But the scavengers, I've got to ask this question. So how long exactly do we believe in this universe, in this version of The Walking Dead? How long has it been since everything's gone to hell?
It's hard to really tell. Well, Judith is what, two and a half? And so she was conceived not long after everything went to hell. So that's one of the ways that I usually try to track it.
So if what her age looks like is what it's supposed to be and is not just sped up, we're talking 3 years?
Yeah, at the most.
Is 3 years enough time for the scavengers to talk the way they do?
I don't know. They must have been a weird community beforehand.
Do they do that to kind of just make people uneasy? Is that an intentional choice?
It's possible. It's either an intentional choice or they were some like weird cult beforehand.
Now, see, I'd like to learn that. I'd like to know that the new version of Hail Bop, Doopy Doop Bop was these folks. That would be.
Yeah, there's definitely some weird stuff going on with those people, though, for sure. If she knew they were going to turn on him, why would she have said that thing to Michonne about like, oh, I get to sleep with him when this is all over? It was just weird.
It keeps you guessing again. It takes you out.
It's true. It makes you kind of trust.
Not know how to react to people and just be like, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, okay, that's a nice little distraction technique. But you're right. If someone said that to me, I wouldn't think they were going to pull a gun
on
me.
That is true.
Just a little bit.
That is true. You know, not getting any of that D now. And then the whole thing with Sasha. Like, okay, Sasha didn't need to charge in to go after Negan anyway. You know, they creep up to the
estate. Yeah, she did. She's going to be on Star Trek Discovery, so she's got to die.
That is true. The actress has commitment. But in the arc of the story, Sasha didn't need to do that. The whole reason why she came along is because they found a long range weapon. And yes, that one time they had an opportunity, they missed that shot. But I don't understand how she thought she was going to shoot her way through to get Negan by rushing into the compound. That was stupid.
That hasn't the slightest idea.
You know, she understands, oh, okay, well, that means I have to die. And yeah, Eugene, the whole thing with the poison, like that wasn't what she thought was going to happen. But like,
wait, that's great. You know, life gives you lemons. That's a great one right there, though.
Yeah. And then, it would have been satisfying, too, if she had taken Negan out. I would have been okay with that. I would have been like, all right, well, that counts. You really gave everything for the cause, you know. But she did all of that for essentially nothing, for an opportunity to get him.
Really? Nothing?
Well, not nothing. I mean, like, the whole chaos, like, tipped off because
turned the
of
whole
her.
Tide, the whole thing. Everyone's not dead because of her. Yeah.
But, and the hilltop and the kingdom.
Sure, but that was a couple of minutes later. So who knows what would have happened between those few minutes there.
That is true.
And so I think the lesson that you need to learn here is coffins open from two different places. Only open half at a time. That's what we've learned.
That is true. I mean, he wanted the drama.
Of course
of
he
it,
did.
But
sure he
he
did.
Still could have gotten the drama of it by opening the top half and then opening the bottom half. Yeah. So, yeah, and he'll never make that mistake again.
No, he won't. Nope.
And that was a decent save on Eugene's part about the whole, like, she trapped the air and was able to suffocate to death. That was pretty quick thinking on his part. I have to say, he's a schmuck, but he is decent at thinking on his feet. And that's the only reason he's alive
decent
now.
Decent at covering his ass is what he's decent at.
Because his ass is the only thing he ever cares about, ever has, ever will. And you could be mad at Eugene in this, but it is 100% completely consistent with his character. Going along with Rick's crew and all of the stuff that he's done to help out has always been about his self-preservation 100% of the time. The whole thing he made up to get Eugene or Abraham to try to take him up to DC, it's always been about protecting himself. So I did not expect him to have some, you know, attack of conscience or anything like that, and like decide, oh, wait, I
they
did the wrong thing.
They have Yar's revenge. No. Come on.
Right? So he's in, you know? So yeah, he is Negan 100%. And so that was definitely kind of crazy. But
so for the next season, do you think it's going to be a one and done? Like, is the first episode going to be the attack and then that's over and then the rest now is just like the aftermath of what happens?
Well, I mean, there are still all these outposts, and you see Negan talking to a large crowd of people, like that was either at the end or that was in scenes from the next or whatever. And so maybe he's pulled a whole bunch of people together from all the outposts to form his army to go take on all these people. First of all, I also feel like that Oceanside community is going to help them out, is going to come and fight on Team Rick. I don't know. If it's just the people from the Sanctuary, then Rick and Alexandria, they do need to go then clear all those other outposts out. I don't know. Because that's the thing. They all say, oh, everybody's Negan. But you take out Negan and that place crumbles. It just does. It's all infrastructure. You know, nobody else steps up and has the kind of gravitas and charisma that Negan has.
Knowing what comes next, I'm fascinated to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Yeah. Speaking of, and all this, like, knowing what comes next, part of me, So I've given some serious thought to reading the graphic novel to the point that I actually found it online and was like, well, I don't want to start all the way over at the beginning, but I don't want to start with where we are now. Right. So I kind of like picked a random point and started reading. And there's definitely some differences already. Like, things with Rick and the governor didn't exactly go the same. So Rick is not the man he is fully physically.
Rick's not with Michonne.
Well, I'm back where, like, they haven't been with Abraham all that long.
Oh, okay.
Where I randomly picked a place to
okay, sorry,
to
spoiler.
Join. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not with Michonne then. And, you know, who knows? Yeah. So I think they're just two characters that people like. And they were like, well, let's just have a make out. Everybody wants to see attractive people make out one another. That makes a lot more sense to see in the TV show. The graphic novel is way darker. Like, The Walking Dead is a dark show, but the graphic novel is way darker.
Oh, yeah. They get to go to all the places that even basic cable TV cannot go.
Yeah. Like Carl as a kid and that what almost happens on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I'll read the graphic novel, but I have it open in a tab in my browser, and I decided I just wanted to kind of know what happened in the source material, and I like that. I like knowing what's going on and comparing it, so we'll see. We went to the movies finally after a long time, and we can get our geek card back because we saw Logan.
Yay!
And Snickety Snatch and Wolverine. He was lighting it up, and that is a gory movie, even more so than like some of the other ones. I mean, like, you really see him stab people through the head and whatnot. And the girl
waited so long for the Berserker Rage.
Yes,
we got in X-Men 2, and that one we got a PG-13 version, but we got a Berserker Rage. It's like, yes.
Angry. And the girl they had playing the
X-23,
right, is also just like wow. So that was interesting. It was Patrick Stewart. Great performance on his part, I thought.
I guess when you start losing your mind, you just cuss more.
I guess so.
Some of his felt like it was there because he's like, no, I want to say the F word too.
Right? Right? We already got this R rating, I might as well go for it.
We're going to earn it, you bitch.
He's just so great. Anyway, so it was a good movie. Even knowing it was spoiled for me because we waited too long to see it, so I knew who lived and who died and some of that other kinds of stuff. But and you sort of did anyway because you know the source material.
Well, I mean, it is and is not based on Old Man Logan. It is in the concept that he's older, he has a road trip, there's some humanity to discover, but it is not in the aspect that you couldn't adapt that because there are too many Marvel characters that are in the cinematic universe. Yeah. Because, he goes on this road trip with Hawkeye, which is totally different. And I'm not sure if a T-Rex in a Venom style symbiote suit would have worked in this film. But no,
did it work
in context? It absolutely does in context. Which is what you need. It was amazing. It was fantastic. It was, and since they used the clips of the movie in this film, it's the postmodern Shane is what this is.
Okay.
Especially since I'm one of those people that totally believes that yes, Shane is dead at the end of the movie Shane.
Do I remember the movie Shane?
Well, they're watching it in there, but the big thing of it is like Shane, he comes running, there's the woman and her son, but Shane has to leave. He has to go because that's what he does. And as he rides off, the little boy's like, Shane, come back, Shane. You've had to have heard that at some point.
Maybe,
So as he's walking away, I mean, we see the shot, we're from the kid, and we see, and there's Shane, and he's on the horse, and they're just going. And that's the ending. And the ending's supposed to be, oh, look at that. And he left and the kid, because that's what he's supposed to do. But at the time it was filmed, maybe they couldn't show us that Shane doesn't really move when we see him that far away when he's leaving. There is a very good argument to be made, and someone wrote it up very nicely on the web that I can't find at the moment, but that Shane actually died from all the injuries of the big fight that he did, that he said his goodbye to the kid, and as he rides off, he's dead. And that's a big bone of contention.
He wanted to spare the kid.
Among movie people.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. Huh. Controversial.
Yep.
Well, this is pretty clear, who lives and who dies, but still. Well, really?
There's some gray area.
You never know.
I mean, in the comics, I've seen him come back from being burnt to absolute bone in like 30 seconds. So you never know.
Yeah. The comics can do a lot. Very cool. Jumping back to television, we watch all the CW superhero shows, but we're behind on quite a bit of them.
On most of them.
But we're caught up on Archer. Not Archer. Well, Archer's coming up on the list, but I always do that. We're caught up on Arrow.
Yes.
And that's been decent. Weren't you saying that Stephen Amell is going to be doing Ninja Warrior at some point?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It's a celebrity Ninja Warrior. I forget who else is going to be on there, but who cares who else is going to be on there.
Yeah. And we know he can do the Salmon Ladder.
We do know that. So as I said on The Daily Show, if he wants to raise a lot of money, because this is a charity event thing going on, he needs to be setting up the live streaming, watch me do nothing.
Watch me train for it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
For charity.
I'd watch it. Yep.
For charity. Yeah.
Yep. And so, but just in general, this whole like, am I a good person? Am I a bad person? Am I, I don't know. So now, instead of the flashbacks to the island, we've been having all the Russia flashbacks, and then with the Bratva and all this other stuff. I'm ready for. Can we just have a modern without any flashbacks?
Well, that's the next season. would have to.
I guess because, no, we have nothing left to flashback to.
It's been 5 years.
That is true. That is true. I mean, he was gone for 5 years.
Said he's going back to the island now so he can go home. That, right. That's the whole thing.
That is
thing.
True. We are wrapping up flashback.
So yeah, there's no more flashbacks. So
maybe
we'll pull a Lost, get some flash forwards. Yeah?
On an island.
I know.
We're also caught up with Legends, DC's Legends of Tomorrow. This is my favorite, like, fun show of the bunch because the camaraderie between the guys. At first, I didn't think they needed the Historian Steel guy, but he's a fun character.
And just you can't have Firestorm without him.
Firestorm is Jefferson.
Who did you say?
And
who did you say?
I said the Steel Historian guy.
Oh, I thought you said the old. Okay, never mind.
No.
It's Steel.
Steel. Yeah, sorry.
Well, Stein.
Stein.
But I really, it's what I heard, so I'm sorry.
That's okay. But it's nice that we've gotten Rip Hunter back, and it was. I was actually not a fan of Damian Dark, Malcolm Merlyn, and Earbud Thawne as this like.
Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom cohort, whatever. It was like they canceled each other out. Like they were each individually kind of bad guys. And then putting them together, they just sort of were all trying to sort of do comedy a little bit. And it just fell flat for me. It was like normally you take three bad guys and you put them together and then they get even badder. It's like the sum of the parts. But these, I don't know, they're just kind of like...
Oh, do I need to find the Superman comic from like 1954, which has Luther, Toyman, and the Prankster teaming up to fight? I think that'll give you the proper context of what happens when multiple DC villains get together.
Yes, yeah,
in the fun show.
It was disappointing to see them together and them not, you know what I mean, not be very, they're just fumbling and bumbling and just kind of, that doesn't seem to make
sense. Well, they don't trust each other. They don't care about each other. So,
yeah, but still, I don't know. They're
looking out for themselves. It doesn't work together. See, they're not really a team.
Yeah, it's clumsy the way they're doing them. So, and I don't care for it, but I do love the show. And I do feel like there's at least some writers on the team that are going, okay, we're going to do Hitler, George Washington. And then we're going to, you know, like they have this wish list
Lucas,
of places
Tolkien.
To go. Right. And so, and I'm finding that really fun because it's certainly on my geeky list of places I would go and people I would want to meet.
So how are they going to, what's needs to happen for them to go back for the making of King Kong? Because at the same time, there's a super Grodd type gorilla thing happening simultaneously. Huh.
That could happen. And then it's a Flash crossover.
If they give us a Supergirl crossover to possibly give us a Superman crossover, we could have a King Kong Titano, because Superman did have a giant ape who could shoot red kryptonite beams from his eyes that he'd find
apes
occasionally.
With freaking lasers.
The 50s was a weird time for comics.
Yeah,
a very
like
weird
it.
Time for comics.
You know, creativity, dudes. What can I say?
Do it, man.
Anyway, we still watch Riverdale, but we're two behind on Riverdale.
And I feel bad about that.
Yeah. And we did watch the new episode of Archer. Dreamland.
There you go.
Which they do set up as he's in a coma and he's, you know, dreaming this PI type land. But
thank
you. Know
you.
What?
I was like, no, how are you not going to say land? You put PI in front of it, but you did get to land. Thank
uh-huh.
you.
Okay. And everybody's playing characters like cast by Archer. So they all are kind of like how Archer sees everyone, which is pretty fun. It's always been his show anyway, and everybody else is just like characters around him. But it's just, it'll be interesting to see how it's funny.
And thinking about that and thinking about how everybody is the version of them as he sees them. Now, that makes Pam very interesting.
How is she's kind of masculine?
Yeah, she's kind of really a guy.
She is, though, like personality-wise.
Sure.
Like, yes, he's hooked up with her or whatever.
That was going to be my thing. How many different times has he had sex with Pam? Which, and for one episode in particular, the first times really was the greatest sex he's ever had.
Yeah, that is true.
But he sees her as a dude. Well, not by choice, not by willing choice, not by ready to admit to himself choice.
Right.
That's the phrase I'm looking
tongue.
For.
You take
that
whole
how you
thing
will.
About like, you know,
hi-oh.
Hand where, you know, and he says, yes, it's very, very, very funny. You know, I'm sure in his lacrosse days, he did a little experimentation. I broke Billy Flynn. And then we also... I think there's almost, oh, it's something that our daughter is into, and it's kind of annoying, but it's like Japanese pop. Here's a pro tip for parents watching.
You know what this is? This is that SNL skit with Taron Killam.
Right.
That's exactly what this is.
This is the American Japanese J-pop. Wow. Everything is kawaii, which I actually looked up and is like a term for like cuteness in Japanese culture. And I don't mean to be like... I know plenty of people are really into it, into Japanese culture and like the anime and the different toys and some of those other things. But this is a TGIF, wanna LOO. And it's supposed to be a tongue-in-cheek, like they get a catchy song, but everybody ends up hating it because it's catchy, but it's pop. And it's just some of the characters, there's one that's like into science, but like it's called Cuckoo Harajuku.
There you go, a title.
And it is on Nick Jr. And the whole reason it exists in our universe now is because I didn't skip the commercials when it came on. And so
thought that was funny.
She made me back it up and rewatch the commercial 22 times in a row.
Can't believe we came up with the same number. It's very creepy.
No, I just said that after you said it.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. A lot of times in a row.
Okay.
And then, but it's fun. It's not terrible. It keeps
Gwen Stefani off the street.
Yeah. She's on like that voice show or something. I don't know.
Sure, anyway. But I don't care.
Yeah. So if you're into that or you have a niece or a nephew that you want to indoctrinate into the Japanese way of life, then Cuckoo Harajuku. Except that it's not. I mean, they're totally American characters, but they live in this
J-pop
wow, like world. And yeah. They're a band.
Mm-hmm. Well, so they sing and perform.
They're sort of a band, right? We never actually see them have a concert.
An instrument.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. They're like a boy band, girl band, yes, right? A pop band. So, yeah.
I just don't like that they have the word band in it. They're a group. Yes. They're a group of people is what they are.
Anyway, so yeah. Cuckoo, Harajuku. That has been my geeky week.
Well, I finally knocked off the Doctor Who, the Daleks, wonderful recreation of the Patrick Troughton episodes were missing. To actually see this done as close as you'll ever get to see how it was done was simply amazing. And I wonder if they'll include this on that. There's a new streaming site we did a story about that's going to have 563 classic Doctor Who episodes, basically, like, except for the missing ones and like 20. They'll have all the classic Doctor Who episodes. I'm sure they'll have other things, but who the hell cares and knows? So I don't know if they'll have that, but no, that was quite a bit of fun.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah. And anything, if you go back, especially the Daleks, Doctor Who, no matter who is the Doctor, pardon the pun that was not intentional, you know, it always has its ups and downs and its weirdness or whatever. But anytime there's Daleks, even if it's not the greatest Dalek episode, there is something about that because they've been around since the second serial, you know, the second storyline. Yeah, so just
they amazing. Always do well by the Daleks. Yeah, they might have the trope of like, oh, they'll run through that hallway and they just ran through that same hallway because it was cheap production value or whatever back in the day. But you can pretty much count on that you're going to get a good story if you got a Dalek story.
So there is that. I've got like maybe three episodes left of Iron Fist, another dividing line in the geek community of people who were just absolutely astoundedly, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. And I just don't see it that way. Once again, I'm on the other side.
Well, I mean, the whitewashing part of it is not great.
The whitewashing part. Danny Rand was born in New York City. There was the alleged mansplaining thing in the dojo for the woman who ran the dojo, which I don't see it as that. Everyone's like, but oh, he was an asshole to her. I'm like, yeah, no, I give you that. He was an asshole to her. Yeah, but he was not an asshole to her. Because she was a woman and because he's doing, you know, he's explaining things as a man. He's the Iron Fist. And really, he's a 15-year-old. He's 30, but he's been missing for 15 years. He's at age 15 in this weird alternate dimension monastery place where he's been training to be the ultimate badass ever. He is the Iron Fist. And when talking to someone that he considers to be a warrior, someone who runs a dojo, he starts talking to her the way he was trained. Well, it's this should be and this should be. I never once got that he did this because she was a woman. I think he would have said that to anybody in the world.
Yeah.
I think if Luke Cage was running the damn place, he would have said that to him. And they might have fought, which I'm sure they will at some point. But I'm not saying it's the greatest writing ever, and I don't think maybe they haven't done the best job doing it, but I totally am getting the idea from the show about him still being this 15-year-old and the way he was taught there, he expects everyone to understand in that way because that's simply just how his life was. So that's what I get from that. And I'm having fun with it. You know, unless it takes a massive turn, but people have said, oh, so slow, so slow, slow is all I heard. And I didn't get that. I wasn't feeling like that we were going through mud or taking longer to get anywhere than we needed to. I thought it was moving at the pace it needed to move at. And for everybody that's saying, well, how exactly did his iPad work for 15 years? A dimensional rift opened up and he went through. Who the hell knows? The energy in the universe itself powered it. Apple has some outstanding devices. Is this the same Danny Rand that I know that was pals with Luke Cage in the comics? No. But this is a Danny Rand that I've never really saw, because I always saw him as the Iron Fist, as a superhero, because you didn't really do backstories, you know, in the 70s like that. So I'm having fun with it. And yeah, so the Defender should be interesting, since we know now that we'll be fighting lots and lots of ninjas. So that's good.
Ninjas are always good.
I'm watching that new show on NBC, the one with John Lithgow, The Trial and Error, where he's been arrested for allegedly murdering his wife. And
he seems pretty snarky.
Well, he's playing a very odd guy, and he has issues and concerns that a lot of people don't understand his behavior. So I can somewhat understand that sort of mindset. But no, he's a really weird, strange guy. He certainly is. And it's set up in another documentary style like The Office and everything else. But at least in this one, they acknowledge it, as every episode says, that this is a documentary of that trial. So they're giving you that it is that. It's quite a funny show. It really, really is.
He's pretty funny.
He's quite funny. And Emma in Glee is playing the prosecuting attorney, and she's playing such a different character. Sexually frustrated? Why would you ask that? I didn't. So there's a lot of good lines that she has. And so
actress Jemma Mays.
Exactly. I can see. And it sounds like it's a tongue twister, which is why I can't ever think of her name to start with, because Jemma Mays makes it sound like there should be one more name. It sounds like the beginning of a three-name name. And that just throws me every single time. But that's quite funny. Quite funny. I am enjoying that. It's really weird that they're not showing just one episode at a time. They're showing two episodes. Apparently, the people, NBC, whoever bought the show, was like, they sent them the episodes like two at a time. And the dude's like, no, I want to air it this way. And like, what, you just want to burn through it? You don't believe it? It's like, no, it's incredibly funny, but I think it works better this way, where you get two of them and then all of a sudden it's just over. But so you got a lawyer at a big, big, huge firm comes to a small town to take over, to do the preliminary work for this case. And, you know, you get the tiniest bit of your My Cousin Vinny stuff, because it's an odd place.
He's Peck's third most popular pet psychic.
If we're being precise, I'm actually a pet parapsychologist. Pet psychics are frauds.
The town doesn't have a bookstore, but they have multiple pet psychics.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that is a really good time. When we were at Mysticon, I picked up some comics from the dealer room, because trade paperbacks, you can always get great deals and they're fantastic. So I got the next chapter of the 100 Bullets saga.
Oh, yeah.
How many
bullets are you on now?
Oh, there's so many bullets, and each case is 100 bullets. We don't need to get into that, but it's a fantastic, amazing comic that everyone should be reading, that I'm now actually going to be able to finish, because I believe I have the rest of them now. So, yay! So other than that, shouldn't you and I be talking about Mario Run?
Oh, yeah. Which I almost got on it and played, but then I wasn't sure that my volume was down. And then I was like, how am I going to do the show and play? I'm kind of addicted.
No, he's talking. I can play now.
Right? I'm kind of addicted to Mario Run, except I'm not quite that good at it. Like, I'm good enough to get... I got all the pink stars or pink coins, right, and then I got all the purple coins, and yeah, I'm having a really hard time getting all five black coins.
You are supposed to. Those are the most difficult ones to find.
Yeah, but you got them, and like, I don't know. I'm just having a hard time.
Two of the four stages I have, yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you had them in all of them already. But anyway, this is the most successful I've ever been in a Mario game, because you can just walk up to a Goomba and it like auto jumps Goombas and stuff, and so I, you know, and if I start to fall off into a hole, I can be like kickflip, boom, 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 and get out of it. I don't think that's what it's called. Backflip, kickflip, whatever.
No, it's absolutely called kickflip, backflip, boom, boom, boom. That's the exact name of it. It's in the instruction book.
Mario Parkour. But anyway, like, I love figuring it out, and I definitely, you know, it's like there's no point in. Like, if you miss the first one, you just restart, start again, restart, start again, restart, start again. Because there's no point in getting like, oh, I missed the first one. Well, why am I going to keep playing this level? But I've played the first like four, the free levels like over and over and over again. And I'm starting to do the rally, but I just don't like losing my people. So I know I can play for just like bragging rights against friends and stuff. You can find me on there. I don't know like what name I have it on under. I guess I should look. But
are you like T to the V?
T to the V. Yeah. That's my work username that I use for fun stuff at work. So okay. That's me. I did have my volume on. I was looking to see like what my username
and
was.
And Mario makes a special appearance on the show tonight.
It's a Mario. Anyway, let me go see. Anyway, but you're liking Mario Run as well. You play the tour more often, or the rally.
I do the toad rally more than anything because I like playing against other people. It's like being able to go into Mario Kart, like back in the day when on the 64 and we had ghost races and we're like, oh my God, that's amazing. It's ghost racing people from around the world in a Mario stage.
Yes, it really is. Which kind of sometimes is great and sometimes sort of throws me off when I feel like I'm like right at the same place as the ghost person. I'm like, which one am I? Am I that one or am I that one?
The one that's not translucent.
But it's not, it's the contrast is like for my eyes or whatever, maybe not enough.
Really laser eye? Because I've got like a see-through ghost Mario with dull colors and I've got bright red popping woohoo Mario there. I would have thought that would have been enough of a juxtaposition.
There's just times. Well, because it's hard for me sometimes to keep track of which one I am. Like even in like Smash Brothers and some of these mini games, sometimes I'll play mini games sometimes in Mario Party and be like, oh wait, that's right. I'm that princess, not the other princess. Oops.
Oh, well.
Anyway, it's a very fun game.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, if you haven't already gotten the app for Android, you definitely should. Lots of cool stuff in the app, and it makes it easy to listen to our podcast on the go. What else?
Are you still in... influenced by J-pop? Wow.
Is that on the go. Maybe that was Mario on the go.
Okay, that's entirely possible. Also, you should go to YouTube and type in Geek Radio Daily and you'll find that we have a page for a while. But there's a page there that you should subscribe to because once we get to 100 people subscribed, we get a fantastically wonderful, beautiful URL. Currently, there is a cartoon there and that's something that folks will be seeing more of. Now, I've got to ask PRS exactly how the timing of all this is going to work. But hey, Patreon folks, our fantastic Patreon folks who help donate so we can keep things running and moving. I don't even want to tell the world what
you
we need to buy a new
additional content.
I don't want to tell the world we need to buy a new one of. I'm afraid to tell the world. But yes, we have just recorded an episode that is going to be turned into a cartoon.
Special
that released
content.
For our Patreon members, I think in maybe 6 years from now, we'll release it for everybody else, let everybody else in the world see it. But for now, Patreon folks, you get some little cartoon action, which means not only the audio with all the fantastic audio jokes, but maybe even a visual joke or two. Oh my God, it's coming in multiple senses. It's just all around you. It comes at you, rawr.
And you don't even have to contribute very much to be one of our page. You know, the way the Patreon works is like if lots of people throw in just a tiny little bit of money on a regular basis, that really helps us out to help just produce our show. So we just wanted to say thank you to those of you who are already helping out with Patreon and making GRD possible. And you can get from our Facebook page or from our website, geekradiodaily.com. And see the Patreon is pinned to the top there. So we really appreciate y'all and more content coming at you.
Indeed. And we're coming at you because in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll be at RavenCon.
We'll be at RavenCon. And it'll be a crazy, crazy weekend that I have no idea how it's going to work at all in the slightest.
We'll have a live show of GRD somewhere in there.
Yes.
We'll have the toddler with us. And you have a band concert.
There's the masquerade. There's the band is playing. There's a lot of things that are going on.
Billy Flynn will be very busy that weekend.
I will. So if I walk by and I'm just sort of waving like the queen, it's probably because I'm tired.
And you're a queen.
Sure. All right.
You're the queen of my heart.
Aww.
Aww.
21 Pilots song that I don't know about.
I have no idea. I just made it up.
That's fantastic. Normally, I'd push a button here, but there's no need to, so I will just say if you'd like to drop a note to us, you can do that by writing into podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or if you'd like to do a voicemail to get your voice out there, you can simply call
510-GRD-CREW.
Going online.
And now, with a look at the many places you can go to get your geek on.
Are you sure this is a sci-fi convention? It's full of nerds!
It's the GRD Con Report.
Con! That's right, the GRD Con Report. A look at the places you can go to get your geek on the first weekend of May, the 5th through the 7th. Ad Astra in Richmond Hill, Ontario, Canada. That's far too many places in one thing. Right? A Steampunk World's Fair in Piscataway, New Jersey. And Wholanta, the Doctor Who British media that was Timegate in Atlanta, Georgia.
The next week in the 12th through the 14th, we have Gaslight Gathering, which is a steampunk convention in San Diego, California. Also that weekend, Atlanticon, another convention in Atlanta. And then we have Sefercon, Sfercon, in Zagreb, Croatia.
The 18th through the 21st, the Nebula Awards weekend in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
The we Schwein know people Belt, who have won those.
Yes, mm-hmm. We do. Schweinbelt Convention, Discworld, and Berg Lundwigsted, Germany. And I'm sorry I said that wrong. KeyCon in Winnipeg, Canada. NaughtyCon in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Oasis 28 in Orlando, Florida, where they're all big fans of the Gallagher brothers. WhedonCon, and in parentheses, Joss Whedon, which means you can't hear him. In case you were confused that it was some other
Whedon.
Form
didn't
of...
say Wheaton. Wheaton.
In Los Angeles, California.
The following weekend of May, the 25th through the 28th, we have MomoCon, which is animation, gaming, and comics in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mo.
The weekend, we also have Philip K. Dick Sci-Fi Film Festival in New York, New York. And we also have BaltzCon in Baltimore, Maryland, the 26th through the 29th.
I've heard of that one.
And ConQuest with a capital T in Kansas City, Missouri. Also, we have Das Flugelnfest der Filksmusik, which is like a Filk Fest, fun
yeah,
music.
I got that part.
In Bad Saldusfurst, Germany.
I want to go to Good Saldusfurst, Germany.
Sorry, you only get the bad one. We also have BayCon, which is in San Francisco, California.
Oh, celebrating the films of Michael Bay?
No. And Contour 2017 SweeCon in Uppsala, Sweden. One more for that weekend. We have WisCon 41. I wish we could go to WisCon in Madison, Wisconsin.
Proud of yourself for that one?
No, not really.
Those are all the places you can go to get your geek on. So you do that, we'll get ourselves ready to tell you about all the movie tickets you need to make sure you have pre-ordered. And before we get to all that, you know, we had a contest on the Daily Show, and so people entered, and we even have winners. So it's time for you to learn a pairing.
Hello, Geek Radio Daily people. Sandra here with your Enabler Mom pairing of the week. I thought I'd kick things off with a classic, perhaps the mother of all Enabler Mamas, back to the 1967 classic The Graduate, because really, who is the queen of them all but the leggy cougar that is Anne Bancroft's Mrs. Robinson? My suggestion is to watch The Graduate while indulging on a nice dry martini, but to keep the jar of olives nearby so you can continue to pop the little balls of salty goodness into your mouth as you watch Ben race after Elaine to the sounds of Simon and Garfunkel. Indulge and enjoy, kids. Sandra out.
Okay, you know what it's like. You're flicking through Amazon or the local DVD shop when suddenly you discover a film that you haven't seen in years, but which you remember as being legendary. The purchase is hastily made, you invite friends over, make popcorn, and settle down to watch this classic. But then it becomes apparent that your mind has double-crossed you, and that this film is frankly awful. Soon your friends have deserted you, your boss says he has to let you go, and even your dog won't come when you call. How did it go so wrong? Well, in the interests of public harmony, a new podcast, I Saw That Years Ago, sets out to watch the old films that your memory has convinced you are brilliant, but which in reality could be anything but. So join me, your host Martin Darkley, and my compatriot, Gentleman Joe, as we watch the old films so you don't have to. Find us at www.isawthatyearsago.com or on iTunes.
Hi, this is Will Wheaton, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily.
If you're seeing this, I'm already gone.
Are you even listening to me?
I didn't ask for any of this.
Security, could you please escort this man off the premises?
But Jack, I'm your best friend.
You were my best friend!
Big college man, huh? Aren't you supposed to be better than me, huh? Aren't you supposed to be better than me?
I'm gonna raise this baby with or without him.
We're taking your daughter off life support.
Oh, my baby!
He dies and you give up on everything.
Oh my God.
There's something going on behind this quaint suburban facade.
I don't know anymore. Am I a cop or am I a criminal?
Turns out she's my father.
I'm your daughter.
The calls are coming from inside the baby.
There you are, you son of a bitch.
It did start out as a prank, but then I really fell in love with you.
Give me a sign.
CIA, FBI, NSA.
It's all part of the game.
It's a lie. As good a day as any.
I was framed. You gotta believe me.
You're all in on it.
This goes up to the goddamn White House.
I thought that volcano was dormant.
I was the best. Now I'm nothing.
I can't get past the encryption.
The whole place is on fire.
He's my twin goddamn brother.
Give me back my son.
This city is a cancer, and I'm the cure.
What does it all mean?
And welcome back to GRD's Weekly 273. Look at there, I even remembered.
Me too.
Good for me. And it's that time of year again. Yes, summer is fast approaching. So even though it's not summer, summer movies are coming out.
It was like sort of warm. Soon. I have a sunburn.
Sure, yeah. But that had nothing to do with the sun so much as you. So yes, let's take a peek at this. The summer movies. What are we going to see this year? What's not going to be? What's going to be the underdog? All that good crazy crap.
Well, they're starting off strong. That very first week in May, May 5th, we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yes.
It's just awesome. It's going to be great. It's going to be epic and fun, which, you know, I wish DC would figure that out, but epic and fun is really
they
the way to
TV
go.
They have TV and movies.
That is true.
You can go
either
way.
Looking forward to it. We've been teaching our little girl how to say, I am Groot.
Yep.
And she's not going to be old enough to like see it in the theater, but at some point, yeah, I'm definitely obviously looking forward to the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And will the soundtrack live up? Who knows? It's got to.
Yeah, but it's hard because you have like all of musical history to pull from, but at the same time, yeah,
we
the first
have a
one was
pretty
a good mix.
Specific. Anything else that weekend that even
no,
even
just
was
going to
bother?
Release.
Exactly. So the next weekend, May 12th, you get your King Arthur gets another shot at movies. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, Charlie Hunnam, whatever from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, Charlie is the iconoclastic take on Excalibur myth, tracing King Arthur's journey from the streets to the throne. Does anybody care? I want the live action Black Cauldron. That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
We also have Lowriders is coming out, and that's like a...
A movie based on the song? Lowrider.
But no, and it's like, it is about lowriders though, like Mexico, not Mexico, but like a street artist in East LA. He's caught between his father's obsession with lowriders and his ex-felon brother, so interesting. Also, we have Snatch.
Yeah. Her boyfriend dumps her on the eve of their exotic vacation, so Emily Middleton persuades her ultra-cautious mother to go on a... Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer. I don't know.
That could really go either way. Both of those ladies are incredibly funny and talented, but I don't know. I just don't know about that one.
Yeah. The following weekend is when we get Alien Covenant.
Hell yeah, we do.
Right?
Hell yeah, we do.
I mean, the whole Alien franchise is just... It's great. And
I can't say that the whole Alien franchise is great.
I'm just saying, I mean, it definitely piques your interest, makes you think sure. that it could be potentially
hey,
good
Resurrection had a prototype Firefly, so yeah, I definitely will be there for that as soon as I possibly can. Everything has a teen with severe combined immunodeficiency, the bubble boy disease, and he's allergic to everything. John Travolta's not in this, so I don't really care.
We have
what's
two
his face
like this summer.
From Half Baked is not in it, so I don't
right?
really.
We also have Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. This is a super popular series for kids of a certain age, so I have a feeling it'll probably do pretty well.
Yeah, it'll hang in there. May 25th. The movie, I guess, tons of people asked for, Baywatch, will be...
with The Rock and...
Zac Efron. And a ton of other people.
Ugh.
It's going to do really well for 1 week. I have no idea if that's going to have any legs or not. Do you have any interest in seeing Baywatch?
No.
Oh, really? Of course you do. Don't lie to me.
No, I really don't.
Oh, okay. You're waiting for the next... Well, the other one that weekend, you think it's going to beat Pirates?
Oh, that's going to be interesting. I'm not sure. I mean, like the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, so it's Dead Men Tell No Tales. I know a lot of people who are super into this franchise, but...
for a movie.
I just don't know that it is still going strong enough to... not to get all like societal, but it'll be an interesting like, what is America like to see what movie does? You know what I mean? Like what... Which of those two movies does better in the box office?
Well, if you go with the every other one works well, Chips was the last TV adaptation, so this one has to do well.
I guess so.
June 2nd, nothing really coming out, right?
Yeah, whatever. You mean Captain Underpants?
Captain Underpants, the first epic movie, is finally getting the love that Captain Underpants deserves. A series of kids' books, again, just like the other one. I'm sure kids are going to love it or whatever, but Ed Helms is in it, so is Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Nick Kroll.
I saw the trailer for this. It's kind of interesting. I mean, they give away a lot of, in the trailer, I mean, whatever, giveaway.
So does every film now.
But whatever, we will be seeing Wonder Woman. We will be seeing it this weekend at midnight.
This weekend?
No, the weekend it comes out.
Okay,
yeah, if we could see it this weekend, we would.
Got a babysitter.
And I need to actually start working on a babysitter now.
Okay.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. That is what we will be seeing
for sure. Yeah, we will, because that's going to be amazing. June 9th, Tom Cruise gets to battle the mummy, and I simply don't care.
Gosh, I saw this trailer and I was like, is that Tom Cruise? And that's the mummy? Like, they're just calling it the mummy again? Is it not the same franchise? Are we not? Is it supposed to be a reboot? Is it supposed to have nothing to do?
It is a reboot, sort of a reboot, because this is part of the shared Universal universe.
And how far he's fallen to be doing a mummy reboot, taking over the role that Brendan Fraser played.
Well,
I know, I was like,
who dares try to take over for Brendan Fraser?
Right?
Who the hell dares?
Could fill those shoes anyway?
No idea. He's been in more movies than I have. June 16th.
We also have It Comes at Night that weekend.
Oh.
So that's
I've forgotten that even
another horror movie. I kind of like how horror can come at any time of the year, you know, and people will want to go see it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Kids out of school, whatever. I could see them wanting to go see It Comes at Night.
June 16th, All Eyes on Me, and that's eyes with a Z, so you know.
That's a Tupac biopic. Yeah. Should be interesting to see.
Well, of course, especially if they finally solve the case or tell me that he is living on that island the way I always said that he was. Cars 3 will be out because people still want to watch that, I guess, and I don't know why. Did you see the trailer for this? It's a very weird trailer.
Yeah, it is weird. It's like a crash at Daytona that looks hyper-realistic, and then all of a sudden it's Cars.
It's the trailer for that is like that moment in Toy Story 3 where you think they're really going to let them burn alive, where everyone's looking at each other like, yep.
Is this really going to happen?
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have made jokes about World War II.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Rough Nights.
Our little girl... eventually is going to be super into the Cars franchise.
Oh, I'm sure
that's coming.
Because she likes Cars. I don't know what Rough Night's even about.
Rough Night. Oh, that's the one Scarlett Johansson. And so it's her bachelorette party.
Oh, this is the one where they think they kill somebody.
Or something, yeah. Or a stripper or whatever. Okay. There's a Red Band trailer for that. It looks like it could actually. It's got, what's her name from Broad City? The curly haired girl. And so this is definitely one of those. I like that they're giving female ensemble casts like raunchy, you know, The Hangover style movies or whatever.
Sure.
So it's definitely that type of movie.
It opens on a Wednesday before the Friday, but Resident Evil Vendetta is another animated Resident Evil film. It has nothing to do with those, which is crazy. I'd still rather see that than June 23rd's Transformers The Last Night. What? So they're going back and he's fighting with King Arthur? I have no idea what's going on. What the hell is going
on here? Not want to see that anyway. So we also have 47 Meters Down, and that's two women are vacationing or whatever, and they get stuck in a shark tank, a shark cage under the ocean, and they only have an hour left of oxygen.
But it doesn't have Anthony Hopkins like Transformers The Last Night does.
What?
Yeah, he's in that. Sorry.
Yeah.
But sharks. I'd rather see sharks.
I wonder if it's coming out during Shark Week. I can never remember exactly when that is.
Yeah, there's no telling. It could be at any time. The very next week is something that just doesn't sound right based on the title. It's Baby Driver.
The main character's name is Baby.
Right. It's not a baby.
And he's like a getaway
driving
driver.
Right. It's not a baby driving a
boss
car.
Baby driver. No.
Or the early days before he becomes a boss.
But it looks like what was that one with that dude and he's driving the transporter? Kind of like that sort of vein of like he's this extremely skilled like getaway driver and it's a heist type situation.
And all the action sequences are set to the music he's listening to because when he's driving, he listens.
Mm, okay.
They're trying to sell soundtracks is what they're trying to do. June 30th. Did you know they were making Despicable Me 3?
Nope.
I had no idea that was even being made.
Huh. I mean, you know, I guess they'll wring every last little bit of Minion-ness out of things.
Sure.
I don't know if the Minions are... I mean, the Minions got their own movie. I kind of thought that would have been the end
I
of the franchise.
That, yeah, I thought it was over after that, or that they would just continue to do it like the Rabbids did. The House is probably going to be awful. but has a chance.
It has an interesting sort of premise. It's Amy Poehler and Will Ferrell. I almost said Will Arnett because they were just so funny together in Blades of Glory. But yeah, so this is the one where they like need to make money, so they turn their house into a casino. Yep,
lose the daughter's college fund.
Yeah, the Let's trailer make a casino. Seems kind of cool. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I don't know if I fully believe in it, but I'd like to. Amityville: The Awakening. I can't believe that they're still making these and getting a theatrical release. Yeah. That's insane. I thought we were stuck forever. July.
Oh, sorry. That weekend we also have one called Wish Upon. It's like a magic box horror movie as well.
Oh wow, you're actually looking into the horror movies. That's astounding.
It's on the list.
I know, but then you usually
I don't go wishing upon random items.
Only a star. Hey. Do not say the Latin. I'm drawing a line in the sand. We do not.
Right?
July, the first weekend of July, July 7th, Spider-Man Homecoming or Iron Man 3.5, if you will, based on the trailer. I'm hoping, you know, I'd like a really amazing Spider-Man film. And I think the best one we've gotten has been...
The Amazing Spider-Man?
Was not. I think it was Spider-Man 2, the Doc Ock one. And... Even that, I love. What are you hearing?
Oh. I was trying to chew off mic.
Sam Raimi's take on things, but I can admit that there are problems with the first two Spider-Man movies. That's why I placed Daredevil above the first Spider-Man movie. But we won't get into that now because people hate me enough for it. Anything else that weekend you want to talk about? There's another horror movie.
Nope.
Okay. July 14th, something I'm really looking forward to, War for the Planet of the Apes. Many years ago, when we did a summer movie preview, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I called that as the sleeper for the summer. And now that's a big, huge, highly respected franchise. And that's really kind of crazy.
It's very well done. They definitely take advantage of the CGI in a very realistic way. And yeah, that looks like it's going
to
be a
good
one. Will
you give Andy Serkis a nomination, please? God damn
it. Right? And we also have Midnight Sun this week. That's another one of those, like, the daughter can't go outside kind of thing. Does she have a disease?
We're not entirely sure.
Okay. Yeah. Ew.
Okay. The next weekend, July 21st, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, which I can't tell if it's supposed to be a serious sci-fi action film or someone making fun of it.
I think it's an adaptation of a book.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely is. But just that title alone, yeah. And I shouldn't make fun of the title, but you know, who do you call it? Valerian.
It almost does sound like a sci-fi Mad Libs title.
They're special operatives for the government of human territories charged with maintaining order throughout the universe, and things go horribly wrong. It's either going to be amazing.
And then the murders begin.
Or the new Jupiter Ascending. Yeah. One of the two, I really could not tell you.
Also that week we have Dunkirk, which is a World War II movie with, what's his name, from a bunch of things. I see his face.
Where is it?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
And a bunch of other people are in this. Harry Styles. Okay, that's weird. But yeah, it's a World War II movie. And then we also have Girls Trip this weekend, which is your African-American females raunchy comedy.
Four lifelong friends travel to New Orleans for the annual Essence Festival with Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith. Yeah, yeah, it's... sure.
Equal opportunity for those types of movies.
Everybody,
sure, go for it.
See, again, women get to rule it. July 28th, there's Atomic Blonde, and I don't even know what that is.
I didn't look at that one offhand.
Okay, so she's in.
Oh, Charlize Theron.
Oh, well then.
Yeah, it's like operatives. Oh, there's a Red Band trailer. So it's, South by Southwest Film Festival.
Oh.
Undercover MI6 agent or assassin, potentially, sent to Berlin during a Cold War. Interesting. It's directed by a stuntman who worked on co-directing John Wick before he was uncredited, and he's directing Deadpool 2. Interesting.
Electric Boogaloo.
Hmm.
The Emoji Movie will be out because that's what our society is.
Yep.
And it's going to be the number one movie in America. You know it will be. That weekend it will be the number one movie in America. And probably the week after that if you look at it. An Inconvenient Sequel, a sequel to Inconvenient Truth, will be out. So we continue to documentarize the world. I don't know what a Brigsby Bear is. What in the world is a Brigsby Bear?
I don't have that one on my list.
Well, the film centers on the creator of a children's TV show who must deal with the program's cancellation. It's kind of like The Beaver, but not, except, I don't know, without Mel Gibson being a crazy person. Going into your last month of summer, August, they started off with California Typewriter. Where the hell's the blockbuster? What the hell?
The Dark Tower is that weekend, August 4th.
Oh, mine just says August. I see. Duh. Oh, okay. No, well, mine says August 4th. I have that. But this, the one above it just says August and says California Typewriter. So I guess for the entire
sometime
month.
Time in August.
California Typewriter will be having. Okay, yeah. The Dark Tower. Never in my life did I ever think that this film would ever get made. Ever.
Yeah. I hope it does well so that they can do the rest of the story. They're going to have to make it self-contained enough to... You're right, they cannot. But they have to make it self-contained enough to stand on its own as a movie because they may not get another one. But just to see Idris Elba in this role...
Back in the day when the fourth book came out and I'm reading it and I'm like, oh my God. So what they need to do is they'd have to have like movies and a TV show... So they could be filming more of the movies so, you know, a kid wouldn't grow up as fast and be Carl.
Right.
And then when you factor in what it's about and what all it connects to.
Yeah.
How the hell is... I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even know. So I'm very interested. I will see it because I do love that story, but I simply have no idea how it could possibly exist as a movie franchise.
Well, we'll check it out.
We will.
The following weekend, August 11th.
Well, you're going to miss Wind River with Elizabeth Olsen? Is a female FBI agent, a rookie up with a veteran local game tractor with a haunted past to investigate a murder on a Native American reservation?
What?
Come on.
The following weekend, we have Annabelle. Annabelle gets a sequel. Yeah. Annabelle Creation.
Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
The Annabelle film was not that good. The bit of Annabelle you see in The Conjuring, it was much better than the Annabelle film. They kind of told us a lot about it. We knew what happened. Okay, so now we get, how did it all begin? This is the Puppet Master version, you know, Toulon's. Okay, I don't care. If somebody cares, good for you, but I simply do not care. August 18th, Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. This is an animated film about squirrels pulling a heist. Apparently there was a first one.
Okay, yeah, I completely missed it.
Because I don't have any recollection of that whatsoever.
But they were able to get a theatrical release for the sequel, so it must have been decent.
Yeah, damn right.
We also get The Hitman's Bodyguard.
So this is a sequel to Hitman?
I don't
think
it is, no.
No, it would not be.
It's a top bodyguard, and he gets a new client who's a hitman who has to testify at the International Court of Justice. They have to put their differences aside to work together.
Testify!
Yeah. And then the following weekend... The August 25th.
Polaroid.
That's another one of those, like, The Ring, what he finds, like, a haunted camera, and don't take the pictures, and then people die.
That was in Four Past Midnight. That's The Sun Dog. Come on. Stephen King did it.
Simpsons did it.
All Saints is inspired of the true story of a salesman turned pastor. A tiny church was ordered to shut down on a group of refugees from Southeast Asia. Together, they risk everything to plant seeds for a future that just might save them all. It's the feel-good movie of the year that they don't think is strong enough to wait for Oscar bait season.
We also have Villa Capri is that weekend, and it's an ex-FBI agent, Tommy Lee Jones, and an ex-mob lawyer in the Witness Protection Program,
Tommy Lee Jones.
Morgan Freeman, having to put aside their petty differences. So this is that, you know, what... Baby boomers demographic movies.
Sure.
They love to make old people movies, and that's for them.
Okay. That's August just doesn't seem to be that strong. I mean, no. You get the Dark Tower, but August, they're like just, they're leaning, they're wimping out on this thing.
They don't even really have like a Labor Day weekend kind of thing.
Well, I mean, going leap. Come on.
Well, that does actually look interesting, and I'm sure we'll watch that with our little girl.
A 19th century Paris ballet school. Yeah. Yeah. Carly Rae Jepsen does a voice.
She does, but not the main voice.
I didn't say she did. I'm just saying. But yeah, other than the Dark Tower, August.
It's September 8th.
It's technically no longer summer, but yes, it will get a mention because damn, is that a good trailer. Wow, is that a good trailer. And they are so going to take all the parts that got left out of the miniseries and actually put it in there. So I don't understand how they're going to... They should just be honest with us and tell us that this is supposed to be part one. They're scared to call this part one. Because none of the, you don't see them as adults at all in the trailer.
Yeah.
This is all the first, that part. It's not the other part. So, yeah, but that's going to be good. So what are you most excited to see all summer long?
Wonder Woman.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
I think, like, honestly, if something happened and we didn't see another movie all summer long, we would at least see that movie.
Yeah, no, I do really, really, really.
And when
it
comes to like our $2 theater, I may even take the baby for a matinee. It's not too crazy. Yeah.
Okay.
Baby's first movie. I don't know. It's probably gonna. She'll probably fall.
Very excited for Guardians of the Galaxy, but yeah, Wonder Woman. I've been waiting a long damn time. We've come a long way since that Kathy Lee Crosby TV movie back in the day with Ricardo Montalban as the villain. Oh, Wonder Woman!
I just want it to be good. I want it to be a good movie, and I just want it. I just want it to be good.
Okay.
And the thing is, though, like, I'm such a fan, and you're such a fan, that even if Green Lantern's us, I feel like we'd have a feeling of, wow, that was fun when we walk out of the movie theater. Even if, you know, weeks later, we're like, well, that wasn't the greatest movie. I still see myself owning it. I see myself watching it multiple times. It, you know, it doesn't have to be really bad.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, in order to disappoint me, it would have to be pretty terrible.
Well, what do you think is for everyone that's laying it on the line and trying to make bank? Who's going to be disappointed? What's the one thing that's going to be the disappointment for this summer?
Oh, I was thinking, that's a hard one. I don't think. I mean, The Mummy for sure. No,
I think it's going to do okay, but not great.
Yeah,
I think Pirates. I think people are going to say that they're kind of done with Pirates.
See, I'm not sure. I think enough time has passed that maybe people are like, forgot how much they didn't like the third one.
There's been more than the third one since.
Okay, see?
See? So. That's exactly what we're talking about. That is exactly what we're talking about right now. So what is our sleeper hit for this summer?
Wow. Gosh, this is tough. Because some of these that are going to do well, you pretty much think... Oh, they're just going to do well. I mean, if I was really any good at like predicting this stuff, then I would be a millionaire. But I feel like The Dark Tower is going to do better than people think. Once they start, you know, really promoting it, I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
What's the one where with your... bridal shower thing that kills people. What is that one?
Oh, that was...
I've already forgotten the name of the movie.
It was...
Not that. Did it go away? It couldn't have gone away.
Rough Night,
I think, has the potential. It's one of those...
Yeah.
The plot line to that, if there's enough jokes in there that are done well... Yeah, this could be the one where it's like, hey, did you see?
Actresses that people think are really funny, and yeah, I think that it could be. I think that could be the one that like spread like word of mouth, like it does really well the second weekend after.
Oh my god, we completely missed another Marvel movie coming out the same weekend as Pirates: War Machine. They finally gave Rhodey his own movie. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
I don't think that's what that is.
Oh right, because he's Iron Patriot now. Some bitch. Okay, that's fine. So do you think this is a overall fantastic summer movie season? There's a few there where I'm like, I absolutely goddamn want to see that, but I don't know. Like
I try to August, think back to when we were geeks who could go to the movies on a regular basis.
Right.
But I still only think there's maybe five or six here that even that Flynn and Flintstress would have made it to.
Guardians, Alien Wonder Woman, is Alien. All I care about in May. That's all I care about in May. Wonder Woman is... I'm interested
in
Rough Night.
Books really had an impact on me still to this day. I still think about The Path of the Beam. I still think about like just like thing the it I don't have the greatest memory. And so for something to really like stick with me for years to come, if you're thinking about reading the books, when you get to the point where Stephen King as the author says to you directly, you want to stop here, don't read anymore, you may want to actually take his advice.
I told you might want to do that. That's funny. I was like, there comes a point in this where you're going to be given a choice, and I think you should...
It's not within my personality to be able to say no to that choice.
I understand that, but otherwise you got, from when I read the first book the first time, how I always knew that was going to end.
Yeah.
So... So that's exactly how that is.
Billy Flynn just punched his computer.
Well, I wasn't going to keep that in the show, but there he is. Woo! Yes, I punched my computer. More like I smacked it, but that's okay.
But seriously, I'll go to the movies and then let us know what you like. If there's something that sneaks past us and you're like, oh God, guys, you would really like this, let us know.
And if there's something you're like, oh my God, no, you really need to stay away from this because my pal, cousin's uncle's former roommate's nephew is in that and he knows about it and it's horrible. Please, please let us know because it's good to have people on the inside. GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 96.3.0 license. Go check us on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. It's always fun. We get the app. It's a beautiful thing. Remember, hit YouTube, Geek Radio Daily. Subscribe. Get all your friends to do it.
Yeah, and you could, like, if you have multiple email addresses, you can just subscribe with all your email addresses. You can do
that. I mean, sure, we could fake it. Fake it till we make it. That's the great old American way. And drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com or drop yourself a note to
510-GRD. Crew.
And we'll see you probably Ravengard, but definitely in a suite.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
This is developing into a very bad habit.
In a world where bad things are going to happen, one man gets in a pickle. And has to run to find the truth. Blah, blah, blah. And win the love of the woman he has his eye on. Big time. From the director of generic Hollywood movie 498. And the producer of generic Hollywood movie 231. A heart-pounding tale of car chases, gunfire, and blah, blah, blah. Starring what's-his-name from generic Hollywood movie 507. Oh! Generic Hollywood movie 1019. In theaters this fall.